Suicide and that pesky nurse work ethic on this week's episode of Insights in Nursing. Hi, this is Jamie Davis. We're trying a new program here called Insights in Nursing, and I'm very excited. I waited and waited and waited to do this until I could get these two people on for the very first Insights in Nursing podcast, because I'm excited to have Kim McAllister and Terry Pollack on with me here, my two favorite nurse bloggers. And so I'm going to go ahead and introduce them. I'll start with Kim. Kim McAllister of the Emergia blog is here. Kim, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm very excited. We finally got Skype working, so that's a plus.
Yeah, finally.
And so we'll be talking with you and looking forward to hearing your opinion of some of the things I kind of dredged up for us to discuss today.
Sounds good.
And I have Terry Pollack on the line. Terry from...
Nurse Ratched's Place.
Nurse Ratched's Place.
How could you forget?
How could I forget? Yeah. This is, she's really my favorite blogger because I forgot the name of her blog.
Uh-huh, he remembered mine.
Just because it says Emergia blog next to your name in Skype.
He forgot his RSM. All right.
Sometimes I forget my middle name. It's okay. There's my obscure Glee reference for those of you that watch Glee. So anyway, we're going to kick off this show, and it really is just going to be a discussion of different things going on in nursing at the time when we record and things that are bugging us in what we do as nurses. And so I'm going to kick things off because Terry and I kind of discussed this. You know, it's great when nurses are in the news for positive things, but recently there was a nurse in the news that is in trouble in Minnesota for going online and encouraging people to commit suicide.
Well, that's a new one to me.
Yeah, I must have missed that class in nursing school.
Yeah, I did. There's no in-service in that.
I was going to say, the in-service for assisted suicide in nursing. I was shocked by this, but, you know, I hate when I see that all the news, the only news that's there is the bad news. And Terry, you were saying, what do the editors say?
If it bleeds, it leads.
If it bleeds, it leads. So apparently this nurse was going online and having discussions, chat sessions with people that were depressed and encouraging them to kill themselves.
Yeah, it's okay. Everyone needs a hobby, I guess, but come on.
Jeez.
it makes us all look bad. But this person, part of the, of course, they were charged with a crime. But the judge also told this person they are not allowed to get on the internet anymore, which I was like, how are you going to do that?
Yeah, really?
That's bizarre. There's no way you can stop that.
So not only is it a bad story about nursing, but it's apparently a bad story about judges who don't understand the internet, because heck, their phone can get on the internet now. So how are you going to keep them from getting on the internet unless you lock them in a cabin? Well, maybe that's what they do in Minnesota. They put them out in the middle of nowhere, lock them in a cabin. You can't have the internet. Now write your manifesto.
Or they give them AT&T, which they have lousy service anyway. So
it'll just drop their connection. So
exactly.
Well, you know, I thought about, you know, putting mitts on his hands, you know, with little bracelets so they know if he's typing anything. I don't know, but for crying out loud, you can't go on the internet. That's pretty bizarre, but I guess no more bizarre than this. And I do believe he was a psych nurse getting online and telling people, yeah, it's okay. Go ahead and kill yourself. Life isn't worth living. You're right.
Was this a psych nurse that was doing this?
Yes. I do believe he was.
Oh, geez.
It takes all kinds, but yeah, at first I didn't believe the story when I read it.
Uh-huh.
But I did a little research, and by golly, yes, indeed, it was for real.
How did they catch him?
I think the family of a deceased person who he coaxed along filed a complaint.
Okay, then maybe they found it on the computer or something.
Yeah, I think they traced it back. There's a man in England, it wasn't even people in the United States. He encouraged a man in England to hang himself and an 18-year-old girl in Ontario to drown herself in a river.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, that. So needless to say, the Minnesota Board of Nursing revoked his license.
Well, one can only hope. Jeez.
I think that falls outside of his scope of practice.
Yeah, no kidding.
What did they charge him with?
I'm looking at the article here. It appears that he was charged with, it says a little known Minnesota law.
That prohibits suicide encouragement on the internet.
And it carries a sentence of 15 years in prison and up to 15 years and a $30,000 fine. It's a felony count of aiding suicide.
Aiding suicide. And it's rarely, I guess they couldn't get him for manslaughter or anything like that.
Right. Well, it was rarely used. So, you know, it's probably not something. It probably is a reaction to the Kevorkian stuff years back. And it's just been dredged out now for someone that's, you know, really assisting suicide rather
yeah,
than.
Yeah, really needs to go to jail for a long time.
This is not about a nurse that is encouraging suicide. It's about a person who's got some serious issues. It just so happens that they could have been a busboy, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah. Just happened to have RN after his name.
So.
Healthcare High School.
Let's jump on over to that one.
Oh.
I think that's a really neat idea, and it something we do already in our community. Our Votech school for the high school has a fire science program, and it trains high school students to be EMTs and gives them some of their basic training along a firefighting emergency services pathway. And so we've had a lot of success with that. That program is always full to capacity. And so I was excited to see that in Chicago, they're starting a high school that is going to be just like a school for the arts, but it's going to be a school for people interested in healthcare careers.
That is a fantastic idea. Oh my gosh, what a great article.
Oh, there you go. You can feel free to blog on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I know a lot of, and I'm not speaking about present company, but I know my mother-in-law as a nurse really, you know, opted out of her senior year in high school and went into a nursing program, diploma nursing program. And that was something she did however many years ago that was. But it's interesting to see that there are just different ways to get kids into the health careers and certainly provides opportunities for these people to get some training under the public school system rather than having to wait and come up with a way to fund a community college portion of their education.
Yeah, I bet it would give them I would think it would give them a step up in terms of getting accepted to nursing schools.
I definitely. And
medical schools, I guess it's both.
Well, yeah, I didn't have to. It depends on. I mean, nursing schools are starting as a BSN program, so to get into either an RN, associate's degree program or a BSN program. And then if they're interested in moving forward, you know, in other health careers, they could certainly, you know, get a general science degree and move on and to whatever. But I'm always encouraged by organizations and communities thinking outside the box and looking for different ways to encourage people to find other careers. And we see a lot about encouraging people in that midlife career change to move into nursing. There's a lot of discussion about that and ways to encourage these non-traditional students to go back to school and get their nursing degree. I was encouraged by an opportunity to encourage younger people to get into the nursing program.
Definitely, because we're already an aging profession as it is. So there's not a lot of, I mean, I can't think of any really young nurses that I work with. My daughter is in a BSN program. When she graduates, she'll be 22. And I don't see too many new 22-year-old nurses anymore. I mean, I was 20 when I graduated. So we're definitely an aging profession. So it'd be nice to get the next generation in there. I mean, I'll take nurses no matter where they want to come from or no matter how old they are. If they're interested in becoming a nurse, that's great. But I really think we need to focus on younger people too, because we're we are all going to be retiring around the same time, except for me, I'll never retire. But, you know, we need these younger people in too, in addition to the second career older adults.
Well, I'm with Kim. I'm going to be, I'm going to die with my nursemates on. I'm never going to retire. But the school provides an opportunity for a lot of young people who don't grow up in family of nurses to see what the nursing profession's like. Now, I don't know about Kim, but there were so many nurses in our family. If you went to one of our family reunions, it was, that's all we talked about was nursing. The women would just kind of get off in a corner and the guys would talk about farming and the women talked about nursing because that was it. That's what we did. And growing up in that environment, I knew a lot about nursing, hearing the stories, and that's how I got my interest in it. Well, unfortunately, a lot of kids these days don't come from that type of family background. So how are you going to hook them? And this is the perfect way to do it. Go Mayor Daily.
Yeah, this is just a great idea. I'm interested to see, and it's opening in the fall, so we'll get a chance. I'm interested in following it once it opens, and then when it graduates its first class. I wonder if they're starting with a full 4 years or if they're going to start with freshmen only and then work their way through. I guess they could start in a junior or senior year too, but I think they'd probably get more if they started as freshmen.
The article says juniors and seniors will be able to earn credits by shadowing hospital workers. Now, I don't know if that just talks about the juniors and seniors in the high school, or if it's talking about that when they get to be juniors and seniors in the high school, they'll be able to earn credit by actually being in the hospital setting.
That's probably right. Because if you think about it, if coming in as a freshman, they're only going to be, 14? So probably better as junior and seniors, they'll do like preliminary classes. And I mean, it's probably regular high school classes. It's just that the overall focus will be on healthcare careers.
They still got to do the reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right. Well, they better learn that first.
Indeed.
And it's interesting you said, I mean, I've seen so much focus on the midlife career change nursing students. And that's great that they're coming back and doing that. I mean, heck, I guess I qualified as one of those, even though I was already in the healthcare field. But it's interesting that, you know, as you pointed out, Kim, part of the reason we're anticipating a nursing shortage is because of the mass exodus that will start to occur as nurses start to retire in greater numbers. And it doesn't do you any good if the newer nurses are of the same age and are going to retire around the same point, too.
Right, exactly. Not to negate the contributions, but it's, you know, I'm not seeing these high school, it may be because it's so hard to get in to a program that it takes them 3 years to finish the prerequisites to even get accepted anywhere. So it's pretty competitive to get into nursing school nowadays. So they may want to get in, or they would have gone in younger, but it wasn't available. It wasn't an option at the time just because of the competition level.
Well, and the nursing schools are under the gun to graduate large numbers of their students and keep their quality levels up by graduating the largest percentage possible of their total student class and having that great percentage pass the exam, pass their NCLEX exam. So you turn around and who are they going to pick? Are they going to pick this, midlife career change person who's very goal-oriented, has already proven themselves, has a certain level of maturity, who will devote time and energy to passing the class? Or do you go back and pick that younger, a little bit maybe less mature, a less established person whose grades might not be as good as the other individual? And I wonder if that's swaying the nursing schools to picking the older, more experienced students.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like that would be my guess. I just think it's hard to go in. I don't think anybody gets in anymore right out of high school. I got in a year after I graduated, but that was back in the Jurassic period. And, it was. And so there was one, that's how I was 20 when I graduated. There was one person younger than me who graduated at the age of 19. This was from an associate program. And frankly, I mean, you have to balance maturity with the, you know, younger nurses. I didn't know my head from a hole in the ground when I graduated from nursing school. I'm shocked. I just can't believe what I didn't know then and how immature I was when I graduated. So there's a lot to be said for being maybe a tiny bit older than 19 or 20 when you become an RN. And I don't think you're going to see that as often today just because of the nature of the education now. It's not, you know, hopping right out of high school and into a diploma program or into any program for that matter. So there's a lot to be said for the maturity aspect.
Your daughter's BSN program, Kim, did she have to start her BSN or start at college and then apply while in school to enter the nursing program? Or was that something she was accepted into as a freshman?
Immediately as a freshman. She's at the University of Portland. And she didn't even tell me that she was interested in nursing and called the university. She'd already been accepted and said, I'm interested in being a nurse. And I understand I'll have to I had thought she would, you know, I told her, if you're going to be a nurse, you transfer in your junior year. Well, at this particular university, you actually start as a freshman. You don't do clinicals or your core nursing until your junior year. But you start with basic nursing, what they call nursing classes, lifespan classes, things like that. But you're actually in the program as an undergraduate. And they just said, well, what was your GPA and what did you study? And fine, you're in. So we'll transfer your records over here from liberal arts. There was no competition. There was nothing. She called up and said, I want in. They said, fine. And she was in. That was just a really rare, rare situation. The only thing I can think of is it's a private university, and that may have had something to do with it. They may have had openings, but she didn't go through the application process, the interview process, nothing.
Well, and that's interesting. I mean, because I know my experience was you had to have all your prerequisites done before you could even apply to get into the program. And so it was a little bit of jostling to make sure that you had the credits done in the shortest period of time. So you weren't, if you didn't have one thing and it was only taught the following fall, you had to wait a whole year to apply.
And I think that's the more normal situation where they want your prerequisites done first. In this situation, by accepting them as incoming freshmen into the nursing system, they just, by the time you got into your junior year, you had all your prerequisites because you had a prescribed class schedule from the get-go. So I think your experience is more, and it's more what I'm hearing from other people, it's the more common experience.
So, Terry, do you see a lot of younger nurses in your facility? I know you work for an undisclosed government organization, but.
Actually, the only younger nurses I see are in their mid-20s because to join the military in this particular branch I'm associated with, you have to have no less than a bachelor's degree. Many of the nurses, the civilian nurses coming in, they want nothing less than a master's. So, no, I don't see youngsters coming freshly out of nursing school, but it's because the requirements at this hospital, the standards are really high. And frankly, I don't know how I got a job there. I have a 3-year diploma, but they did look at my experience. I'm going to be in it now 33 years, so I guess experience does count for something in some sectors. But now the little, you know, fresh scrubbed face, those big blue eyes, those, you know, just looking so innocent. No. The ones that come in are older and jaded and have some attitude, and it just makes things interesting at work. I like it.
Well, now and then you get into the 4 generations of nurses, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Boomers, what do they call them? I wanted to call them the Jurassic ones. The there were the not classic, what's the
Velociraptors?
Word? No. the pre-boomer nurses that I'm still working with nurses now. I work with a nurse in an ER who is almost 70.
Ah, cool. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she hustles like everybody else. I mean, there's no difference. And so she's one generation, and it's very interesting, the work ethics, to watch the work ethic change, not necessarily for the bad, but it's just different. What the original, I want to say the original classic, you know, nursing nurse did to where this new generation coming in, they have a whole different approach. I mean, when I graduated, it was, you came in, you paid your dues. You know, it might mean working night shift. It might mean working a year on med surge before you could specialize. There was a certain, you left your patients a certain way. You left your room a certain way. You left the unit a certain way for the oncoming shift. And I learned all this from the old, quote, old nurses when I got in. Now you find the younger nurses or the newer nurses coming in. They have no intention on ever working a night shift, and they won't. They don't do the old year of paying your dues in mid-surge before they specialize. And this isn't a fault of theirs. It's just the system now and what they expect. I mean, they come in, and they definitely will work. They want day shift. That's it. That's all they're going to do. And no nights. And I think, in a way, I think you miss a lot by that, because I think at night, by working night shift, you have to be a little more independent in your judgments. But, you know, it's just, I see a big, and I, the older I get, the bigger the gap is. I see a big difference in nurses that are graduating today versus nurses that graduated 30 years ago.
Yeah, the kids coming in, I've had them, when I was working civilian hospitals, they would just look me square in the eye and say, well, here's the deal. I'm not working weekends. I'm not working nights. Oh, yeah. And the holidays? Yeah, I don't think so. And to someone like me who was taught by the old school nurses, I was just shocked, I guess, that whole Generation X and whatever has come before after that, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I've had to bite my tongue more on more than one occasion and just walk away, and I shake my head.
Well, the thing is too that they're being allowed to have these we probably sound like a couple of old fogies when this comes out on the radio, but
Kim, we are.
Well, yeah, but we're good-looking old folks.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with either of you. I think this is a huge issue, but I don't know if it's new nurses. I think it's a generational issue in general, because I see the same issues in new members of the EMS community, new EMTs and paramedics that I know. I see it. I hear my wife talk about it in the banking industry with people coming out of college and, you know, having certain expectations of what their job's going to be like. And I wonder if it's just the generational issue rather than what they're being taught and specifically in nursing school.
Oh, I think it's a total generation thing. Total generation thing. Because you can definitely see it. The boomers, the classics, the boomers, then the X and the Y's or whatever they're calling them nowadays, the Z's or whatever. But, yeah, it's definitely generational. And I don't know that it's... It sounds like we're going, nah, 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 they won't do this, they won't do that. It's not bad, maybe, that they think that, but it's like, come on, you're coming in, at least in nursing, you're coming into a profession that requires 24-hour coverage. You're asking for a job in a hospital, and they're getting hired with those stipulations. I work with a few brand-new nurses who, sorry, they don't do anything but day shift. And they were hired knowing that they wouldn't do anything but day shift. So it leaves the five people on night shift, or the 10 people, however many work nights, covering themselves, because none of the new nurses coming in will work a night shift. So I don't know. It's just, I think you miss out a lot, and you're in a nursing, you can have a certain amount of control over your work environment, but nursing by its very nature is the unexpected happens all the time. So you can't come in saying, well, I'm going to be this rigid and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. You can, but I think you're going to run into a lot of opposition from your coworkers. And I think you're going into a lot of, it's going to be very stressful to have, unless you're a little more flexible. That's from this old nurse.
Flexibility is key when you're working in a hospital. Now, granted, like young mothers and fathers who have responsibilities to babies and toddlers at home, you know, I get that. But to be a nurse in this 24/7 type of profession, they need to realize that you're going to be asked and sometime expected to work all kinds of strange hours. That's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Well, it didn't bring, you know, you said it's because the marketplace has set this up. And I had reported a couple of weeks ago, it seems like I report every couple of weeks on the Nursing Show podcast, that there's an article that says nursing is recession proof. And then another one 2 weeks later come out and say their new nurses can't find a job in some areas. Do you all see, I mean, I look in the paper and I talk to people in my area and look at the facilities around me, and there seem to be nursing jobs available. I haven't heard from any of the most recent graduating class that there's any particular shortage of nursing jobs out there in my area. Are you seeing that there still seems to be openings for new nurses?
I've seen this. It's the economy. And I've seen this happen about two or three times in the 30 years that I've been a nurse. And it's when the economy is bad, nurses who only worked per diem or who were retired or were planning on retiring flock back into the workforce because the economy is horrible. When the economy is better, they go per diem or retire like they were planning on it. This happened in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, and then again sometime in the 90s. And that's one thing. The second thing is, so I, in a way, maybe there aren't as many openings, but this all goes back to what I said before. If you're not willing to work night shift on a unit that you might not be your first choice, you know, maybe there are jobs out there, but they're not precisely what the new nurse wants or expected to be working. So maybe it's a case of, I don't know, maybe it's a case of, well, the perfect job for me isn't out there, as opposed to there are absolutely no jobs for me out there. Because eventually there's periods where it's harder as a new grad to get a job. And then there's periods where they'll take you fresh out of school and put you in intensive care and train you for anything you want. So I think it's kind of cyclical.
There is an ebb and flow to the nursing crunch and nursing job availability. Yes, back in the 70s, there was a, quote, glut of nurses on the market. Also in the 90s, when hospitals were consolidating, there were a lot of closures. I think it's kind of hit and miss, too, on the part of the country you're in. I know in the Midwest, there have been some really hard times. I mean, when my kids were little back in the 80s, I couldn't find enough part-time jobs to string them together for full-time work. I was working without insurance because you had to have full-time to get benefits. And at one point, I remember cleaning houses and flipping burgers at McDonald's because I couldn't find enough hours. And I was looking high and low for anything, even nursing home jobs, to get my 40 hours a week. I do understand that kids coming out of school right now are having a hard time because of the classic catch 22. You can't find a job unless you have experience, but how can you get experience without having a job? So I am seeing that. Now, again, working in the government sector, there is a lot of competition now for getting these jobs. And because people think government jobs are rock solid. But I also understand that the hospital where I'm at right now is combining with another military hospital in the area. And my building is closing because it's like ancient and it's a money pit. So they're building a new building. They're combining a couple services together. And they are they're preparing for what's called a RIF, R-I-F, which means reduction in workforce. So even now, we don't know, the nurses aren't sure if there are going to be some layoffs. And that's just come out in the last couple of weeks. So there's no such thing as rock solid, bulletproof, you know, nursing. You'll always have a job. Not so much.
I'm wondering if, as our healthcare delivery system goes through changes with the reform and everything, if there's going to be less classical, not classic, what's the word I'm looking for? Some different opportunities for nurses. You know, everybody, you know, they get out of school and they basically head for the hospitals. And I'm wondering if we're not going to see more and more jobs open up that are less centralized to the hospital. Maybe skilled nursing facilities where the acuity level is such that, you know, basically if you're in the hospital, you're really sick. If you're not quite critically sick, then you're in a skilled nursing facility. Things that where you used to have to go to the hospital to get your treatment, now it's sort of decentralizing into these outpatient areas. So it might be that nursing itself needs to start preparing the newer students or the newer nurses for different opportunities, not just being a staff nurse in a hospital. You know, I don't know if it's taking the same set of skills and being able to use them in a variety of situations, but I'm thinking that, you know, because I see actually opportunities for nurses kind of growing over the next few years, especially in the areas of primary care and nurse practitioners, because there just aren't enough doctors to deal with. Everybody's going to need a primary care provider, and pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe we'll be moving away from the hospital-based staff nurse. This is what we're educating you to do, you know, and then from there you can move out to maybe the nursing schools need to focus a little bit more on a wider variety of skills. So, I mean, when I went to nursing school, I went to an associate program. I didn't know anything about community health, nothing about community health, until I got my bachelor's degree. And there's a whole world out there of community health nursing that I honestly had no clue. The problem is the pay is not as good as it is in the hospital. Maybe that has something to do with it.
I think it's interesting you say that the opportunities are going to continue to expand, because I completely agree with you. Recently in my other role as a paramedic, and I on the EMS Garage podcast, we had this discussion: how do we stop having to take every patient to the hospital? Because so many times we don't, as a paramedic, we don't have that option to tell somebody you don't have to go to the hospital. We have to take them if they want to go. And this is interesting because some services are starting to use a nurse in their dispatch center. And if when they start talking to the caller on 911, if it seems like they don't need emergency treatment right away, they are sent to a phone triage with a nurse who walks them through some of their problems and using a obviously some kind of a guided tour of questions for that patient. But ultimately, that nurse is allowed to, via the telephone, give that patient some advice on should they or do they not need an ambulance? Can they wait to talk to their primary care physician in the morning? Is this something that they can deal with themselves at home? And they don't need necessarily to go to see anyone because it's something that isn't really that big of a problem. It's just to the patient, it seemed like a big issue. And so those types of opportunities, I think, are going to continue to expand because cost-effective measure in healthcare, that is very inexpensive when compared to the cost someone incurs by going to the emergency department.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think nurses are going to find that they're going to be used in or have the ability to function in a consultant type capacity. And there's just going to be more and more opportunities that we probably don't even see right now that will come up as healthcare starts to reform and as the delivery system starts to change. So it may be an issue right now for some people in terms of getting a job. I don't think that's going to be the case over the next 10 years.
Well, let's jump into a little bit of another discussion. We're looking at another of the articles I kind of dredged up. And this talks about nursing programs, that they're becoming a big portion of many college and university programs. Before this surge in healthcare need, there were other majors that were the most commonly seen major, but I found an article from Birmingham, Alabama, about Samford University there, and that their nursing program this year became their largest major in their university.
Wow!
And they are graduating more nurses than any other major in their school. And I find that very interesting as we talk about, are we still not making enough new nurses to cover the need? And it seems like you both seem to think that there's going to continue to be work for nurses over the next few years, a need for new nurses. And it's just interesting to see that this school is now has a great percentage of its school population are nurses. They added a doctorate of nursing program, and so they're really moving into a lot of advanced care nurses as well.
Sorry if you hear that sound. It's raining here badly.
I was going to say, it sounds like someone's got serious rain going on.
Serious rain is going on right now.
I was so like, Kim, are you multitasking? Are you in the shower while you're talking to us? Nurses are good at that. I know.
Us.
This must be why we didn't get the video chat working. Okay.
You don't want to see me right now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that visual.
At least I can do. Do you see a big push towards getting advanced degrees for existing nurses? I know that that also seems to ebb and flow. When I talk to other nurses that have been around for a while, they say, it once was you had to have a BSN. There was a big push for a lot of diploma nurses to get a degree and advance into some advanced degree program. It seems like now that's gone away because we need all the nurses we can get. So we're happy to have nurses in an associate's degree program. But it still seems like there's a big push to have advanced practice nurses of various levels, whether it's a nurse anesthetist, critical care nursing advanced practice, emergency nursing advanced practice programs, either certifications or degrees, and a big push for doctorate programs. Do you see that? Are the hospitals and your jobs encouraging you to push forward?
No. I mean, my particular hospital is affiliated with a nursing school, so they, you're encouraged to get your degree, but they don't care if you're an associate or if you're a bachelor's or what. Now, I just got my BSN. My job hasn't changed. My pay hasn't changed. I've changed, but my work situations has not changed because of that. And I think, when I talk about going back for a master's or a doctorate in nursing, a lot of it was, no way am I going to do that. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. And basically, for a lot less pay than what you make as a staff nurse. So while there's a push now to have the doctorate of nursing practice be the entry level for a nurse practitioner, but I don't see, there's apparently money available. I'd like to see some of it to get your advanced degree, master's or PhD. But I don't know that there's necessarily a push. They're starting to require it, but the, I call it the nurse on the street. The nurses that I work with aren't going back in droves. But then again, I work with, you know, I'm of an older nursing generation, so I was kind of an anomaly to go back for a BSN after 30 years. But I don't see the my coworkers flocking to do this or being motivated to do it. But that's just my local observation.
Where I'm working, there is a big push for people to go back and to get their degree. My immediate superior was an old three-year diploma, and we're about the same age. She's just a few years older than I am. And she started as a three-year diploma, so she knows where I'm at as far as kind of my attitudes and opinions. It's not that I despise education, but I don't think, I guess my experience is I've been viewed as kind of a pariah by some of the people in their ivory tower because I am just a three-year diploma. So when my boss approaches me every year during our yearly evaluations, she treads lightly when she gets to that part of the evaluation where they ask if you plan to get your degree. She's like, so Terry, tell me what your plans are for your future advancement in nursing or not. Because she knows what my experience has been and that it is kind of a sore subject. But yes, to answer your first question there is a huge push for people to go back and get their degrees in the arena that I'm working at. But again, I'm working in kind of a special environment. We do a lot of research with NIH, and I mean, I don't know too many people that don't have their master's and PhDs. I'm kind of their token. And I think at this point, a lot of people are just, you know, they've given up on people like me. They just figure one of these days I'm going to die and they won't have to worry about trying to get me to go back to school. But you know what? I'm going to fix their little red wagons. I'm going to work until I die. And, you know, I want to live to be 100. So in your face.
How many bosses will you go through in that time frame?
How many has she been through already?
A lot, probably. But, I'm the antique, and they just have to learn to accept that.
I think, too, if you're going to go back, if you have a specific goal and you really want to be a nurse educator and that's what you want to do and you have an ambition to do that, or to become a nurse practitioner, advanced practice nurse, clinical nurse specialist, you have a goal and in front of you and focused in front of you, then yeah, I would think that there is a reason to go back for your advanced degree. The average, I don't want to speak for all nurses everywhere, but most nurses, at least the response I got on my blog when I talked about going back to school and getting a doctorate was, oh man, I got better things to do. You know, nursing takes up, you know, half my life already. The idea of sitting in a classroom is not how I want to spend my, you know, 50s or 40s or 50s or whatever. But I think those who really want to go into education, really feel a push to do that or a calling to do that, or research, then they're the ones that are going to go on for their advanced degrees, because you have to in order to do that.
Right.
It's interesting, you know, how much nursing has changed. And I'm just reading through this article about Samford University. They were originally called the nursing school was originally called Birmingham Baptist Hospital Training School of Nursing. And
what?
And it's interesting because I've seen comments like this on both of your blogs. Any nurse who smokes, uses liquor in any form, gets hair done at a beauty shop, or frequents dance halls will give her director of nurses a good reason to suspect her worth, intentions, and integrity.
Yeah. Indeed.
They wouldn't get anybody in a nursing school right now.
Boy, the profession would have died out long ago. I'm just looking at that.
There was a lot of that stuff going on. The directors just didn't know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just on the QT. I'm looking at the picture on that website, and they wore caps and everything for their pinning ceremony. How cool is that? I noticed there's no guys in there.
There are no guys in there. And we had actually the ladies in my graduating class wore caps. The guys didn't. So there were five of us that graduated. I think five of us that graduated in my graduating class. And all the ladies had caps and none of the guys did. And so we all took pictures with our caps. We borrowed caps from the ladies, and the five of us got a picture of us in our white scrubs and cap. It's quite an interesting picture.
And when will we be able to view that picture?
Oh, you know what? I knew you were going to say that as soon as I brought it up. I'll have to find it. It's got to be here somewhere. If I can dig it up, I'll post it.
I'll put it on Emergiblog, I swear.
Okay, if I can find it.
You know me in caps.
Well, I mean, it's not all that unusual. Maybe there are other schools that are no longer wearing caps at graduation, but this is it was a tradition at our school that all of the instructors felt very strongly about, and there wasn't really that much pushback about it from the students that I heard. It was just, you know, that's what they're going to wear at graduation. They knew they were never going to wear it ever again, but that's normal for a graduation ceremony, isn't it? You buy your gown and you wear it once and you never wear it again.
Right. Well, I still have my cap, so, and I look for chances to wear it every chance I get, which isn't very often. And then I get made fun of for a week afterwards. So
maybe the nurse bloggers should all wear caps in Vegas.
I would. You know I would.
I know you would. I know you would.
I know you would.
We could have
Absolutely.
A cap meetup.
We could. Yep. And that was, you could get in free if you wore your cap.
And I let's take this a step further. You must wear white. No yes. colored uniforms, no colored scrubs, white.
And white socks, white stockings.
Yeah,
let's do the whole thing.
The best thing about graduating from nursing school was not having to look like the Michelin man every day anymore.
The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, that was, I prefer Michelin man. He has a little bit more definition and bigger biceps.
So. I like the Stay Puffed guy myself, but that's okay.
Well, listen, let's wrap up and ask Kim, where can we find you out on the internet?
I'm at www.emergiblog.com.
And you're on Twitter as well, Emergiblog.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm Emergiblog everywhere.
You're Emergiblog everywhere.
That's right.
And
Except on Facebook, I am under, what am I on Facebook? I have to look. Oh, I'm my own self on Facebook. Yeah. I'm a Kim McAllister on Facebook.
Yeah, we're all slightly psychotic when we're online, yeah. aren't we?
Just a little.
Just a
Who
bit.
Who am I?
Terry, who are you? Where can we find you out there?
I am nurseratchetsplace.com, and my username is MotherJonesRN, everywhere except Facebook, and then I'm Terry Pollitt. Again, I'm feeling a little schizophrenic, but there are a lot of me everywhere.
and I'm really...
God help you.
Everyone that listens to this is going to have to go check out your blogs, because I suspect... we'll have recorded this and probably taken a couple of days to get it posted. By the time you listen to this, you will be able to go over and check out their interesting and enthusiastic blog posts about some of the issues we've talked about today.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm Jamie Davis. You can find me over at nursingshow.com. You can also find my EMS show, MedicCast, at mediccast.com/blog. And you can find me under the handle PodMedic just about everywhere, PodMedic on Twitter and Facebook. So, ladies, I want to thank you very much for joining me for this initial episode of what I'm hoping to call Insights in Nursing. And we're going to look forward to having more insights from you in the future.
Great, Jamie. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us. I had a good time.
And I want to thank you for checking out this week's episode of Insights in Nursing. You'll find more on this, including links to the news items we discussed in this episode, over at insightsinnursing.com. Come back again next week. We'll have more of this segment, the second half of this recorded episode, and we'll be following up each week with additional episodes, provided we can get our panel together. And we're looking forward to having a variety of nursing leaders and bloggers available for you each week here at Insights in Nursing.